Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 19, King Yayati achieves liberation, text number 20. Trishtam Shrutam Asad Bhutva Nanu Dhyayena Sandishet. Sam Sritim Chatma Na Samcha. Tatra Vidvanas Sa Atmadrik. Trishtam. The material enjoyment we experience in our present life. Shrutam. Material enjoyment is promised to the fruit of workers. For future happiness, either in this life or in the next, in the heavenly planets, and so on. Asat, all temporary and bad. Bhutva, knowing. Na, not. Anudhyayat. One should even think of. Na, nor. Sandishet. Should actually enjoy. Samsmritim. Prolongation of material existence. Cha and Atma na sham. Forgetfulness of one's own constitutional position. Cha as well as Tatra in such a subject matter. Vidvan, one who is completely aware. Saha, such a person. Atmadrik, a self-realized soul. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who knows that material happiness, whether good or bad, in this life or in the next, on this planet or on the heavenly planets, is temporary and useless, and that an intelligent person should not try to enjoy or even think of such things, is the knower of the self. Such a self-realized person knows quite well that material happiness is the very cause of continued material existence and forgetfulness of one's own constitutional position. Purport. The living entity is his spiritual soul, and the material body is his encagement. This is the beginning of spiritual understanding. De no smenyata dehe komaram yovanam jara tata dahantara praptir diryastatra nami muyati. As the invited soul continually passes in this body, from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body of death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. The Bhagavad Gita 2.13. The real mission of human life is to get free from material engagement in the material body. Therefore, Krishna descends to teach the conditioned soul about spiritual realization and how to become free from material bondage. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati varata. The words dharmasya glani mean pollution of one's existence. Our existence is now polluted and it must be purified. Asattva Sattvam Shudyat. Human life is meant for this purification and not for thinking of happiness in terms of the external body, which is the cause of material bondage. Therefore, in this verse, Maharajayati advises that whatever material happiness we see and whatever is promised for enjoyment is all merely flickering and temporary. Abrahma bhuvana loka puna avartano jana. Even if one is promoted to Brahma loka, if one is not freed from material bondage, one must return to this planet, earth, and continue in the miserable conditions of material existence. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. One should always keep this understanding in mind so that as not to be allured by any kind of sense enjoyment in this life or in the next. One is fully aware of this truth is self-realized. Sa'atmadrik. But aside from him, everyone suffers in the cycle of birth and death. Rityu samsaravartmani. This understanding one's true intelligence and everything, anything contrary to this, is but a cause of unhappiness. This understanding is one of true intelligence, and anything contrary to this is but a cause of unhappiness. Krishna bhakta nishkama ateva shanta. Only a Krishna conscious person who knows the aim of life, aim and objective of life, is peaceful. All others, whether karmis, jnanis, or yogis, are restless and cannot enjoy real peace. Drishtam shrutim shrutam asadbhutva nanu dhyayana sandishat samsritim chatma nashamcha tatra vidvan saatmadrik. One who knows that material happiness, whether good or bad, in this life or in the next, on this planet or in the heavenly planets, is temporary and useless, and that an intelligent person should not try to enjoy or even think of such things, is the knower of the self. Such a self-realized person knows quite well that material happiness is the very cause of continued material existence and forgetfulness of one's own constitutional position. The same basic truth is continuously repeated until someday we'll be able to hear it. That everyone is searching for happiness. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, nasti buddhiya yuktasya na cha yuktasya bhavanaha na cha bhavyantak shantir ashantasya kutak sukham. That for one who is not in divine consciousness or Krishna consciousness can have neither a controlled mind nor steady intelligence, without which there's no possibility of peace, and how can there be any happiness without peace? So the whole aim of human life is somehow or another to satisfy the mind. Actually, every living entity in this world is trying to satisfy their mind. But the mind is also subjected to be influenced by the false ego. And because of the false ego that the living entity has, one believes that to become peaceful means to satisfy the demands of the mind, the desires of the mind. But there is no end to the demands of the mind. That as soon as one fulfills one demand that the mind is creating, then the mind will create so many other demands. But still one has some faith in the material conception of life, that somehow or another, if I fulfill the demands of my mind, I'll become happy. I'll become peaceful. The day will come when I'll simply sit there in Brahman after doing so much service and work. But that's not how the material world works. That the more one tries to satisfy the mind, then the more the mind engages us in different things. Therefore, tasyaiva heto prayate te kovido talabhyate yad brahmatam uparida talabhyate tukavat anyatak sukham kalena sarvatma gabhira ramahasa. That is a translation. Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not obtainable even by wandering from the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, Patala. In other words, Krishna consciousness. We may go from one planet to the next, or from one material circumstance to the next, but the mind will never be satisfied by any material circumstance. Just like a fish, when he's out of the water, it doesn't matter where he's situated. He may be in the fish penthouse, say they're building these new buildings here. So if you take a fish and you bring him over to this penthouse and say it's all yours, do you think the fish will be happy? Thank you very much. Because the fish is out of its environment. So similarly, if we're not in the environment, a spiritual environment, the internal energy of Krishna, we don't feel very comfortable. So if anyone at this present moment doesn't feel completely comfortable, that's the reason. It's not that our material life is not perfect, and all we do is have to improve some aspect of it. No, whatever material life we have presently, whatever it may be, everyone has the same problems. Namely, old age, disease, and death. And then having to take birth again if we don't go back to the spiritual world. So this is a problem. And everyone is working hard to overcome these problems in different ways. But no one is able to do it. Therefore, Pariksha Maharaj asked Shukadeva Goswami, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? Anyone here know someone who is about to die? Who do you know who is about to die? Really? That sounds pretty pessimistic, doesn't it? Do you really believe that?
Yeah.
So what is your duty now that you're about to die? Yes. Very good. So Pariksha Maharaj is asking, he had 7 days left to live. The Prabhupada said, we don't know if we have 7 seconds left to live. So Pariksha Maharaj is asking all these great sages that assembled on the bank of the Ganges, what should I do? I'm about to die. One recommended a good Ayurvedic doctor. Another said, well, maybe you should give in charity before you die, especially to the sages. Another said, well, think of Brahman or study the scriptures so you can realize you're Brahman. So finally Shukadeva Goswami came by. And all the sages, except for Vyasadeva and Narada Muni, they stood up. Actually, I guess even Vyasadeva, because Narada, actually wasn't Narada Muni, it was Shukadeva Goswami came by. So Vyasadeva, who is his father, didn't stand up, neither did Narada Muni. But all the rest of the sages, they all stood up. And Shukadeva Goswami began to recite to Pariksha Maharaj, and answer his question, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? Generally speaking, if someone asks that question, if you go to university and you ask that question, my dear professor, what is my duty? What is the duty of a person who is about to die? Then generally speaking, the professor will call the police and have you arrested for being a potential terrorist, threatening the professor. He can't answer the question, but he's upset that someone has asked that question. But Shukadeva Goswami was very enlivened by that question, and he said, Varyan esha te prashna kritan lokita vripaha atmavat samatam punsam shodivyadishu yakparaha. That this question is Varyan. It's actually glorious. It's not something that should be ignored is actually something that one should question. An intelligent person questions that. Otherwise, we have the example of the animal, like the rabbit. The rabbit, if he has its enemy is coming to eat the rabbit runs and runs, and if he can't escape, it closes its eyes and starts proclaiming or thinking, my enemy has gone away, it's not there anymore. By my closing my eyes, my enemy has disappeared. But has the enemy disappeared? No, the rabbit soon finds out that his closing his eyes did not affect his enemy whatsoever. Similarly, we may be blind to the truth that we're about to leave this body today or tomorrow or in 100 years. We may be blind to that truth and ignore it, but it's still a truth. And we've been doing that since time immemorial. That's why we're here now. And wherever we go next is because we're ignoring that truth, at least fully. So, Varian, it's a glorious question. Prashna. Kritan loka hita ripa. And it's ripa. It's beneficial for all kinds of people. Not only the person who asks the question, but the person who hears the answer to the question. Who speaks the answer to the question. And also everyone who hears the answer to the question. Everyone is benefited by such a question. It's the only important question. Not who's going to win the election, or is there going to be another lockdown, or did it snow yesterday? These questions may have some relevance in our devotional service, and therefore they have some relevance. But ultimately, they actually have no real meaning, because whether it snowed or not, whoever wins the election, we still have to grow old, become diseased, and die, and leave this body. The important thing is where we're going next. We already know where we are, but we should make plans for our next destination. Prabhupada used to say, a young man, the parents are making plans for the baby, at least to get the baby to grow up. The baby, when they grow up, the parents are making plans so that he becomes an adult. And when one is an adult, one makes plans for oneself or one's family. When one becomes old, one makes plans for retirement. So, since we're not going to stay in this body forever, we're going to have to go somewhere. Shouldn't we make plans for our next place where we're going to? If you're going to go back to Serbia, don't you have to make plans to do that? It's not that the day comes and you say, oh, I've got to go back to Serbia. I have 3 minutes left. Maybe I should pack my bags. Maybe I should know where I'm going. Oh, what the heck, I'll just leave the temple and try and make my way there. No, one has to make some plans. So shouldn't we make plans for where we're going next? Should we wait till the last minute? Where this Mataji is telling her mother, chant, 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 right before her mother is leaving her body. And she's going, can't, can't, can't. I can't say so many words. And then she left her body. Kripan Lokitari Atmavat Samatam Pusam. One who's actually Atmavat, one who has some intelligence. Shrotavyadishu Yakpara. They realize that this is a very important question. Otherwise, Shrotavyadishu Rajandra, Srinam Shanti Sahasra Shaha, Apashitam Atmatatvam Griheshu Grihamedinam. There are hundreds and thousands of questions people are asking. Why are these newspapers or the internet? It's just people asking questions and getting answers. What's the price of gold? What's the weather? How's the war going in the Ukraine? Everyone's asking questions and they're getting answers. Most of them, some of them may be false, including the weather. They don't even know what the weather is going to be. And what are these questions centered around? That hundreds and thousands of questions, how important they are? Nidriya Nriyate Naktam, Avavayena Chavavaya. Divya Charateya Rajan Katumba Bharaninava. People are asking how to eat. Now, scientifically, they have universities studying nutrition. Now, the dog, he doesn't study nutrition, but he gets fatty anyhow when he eats. And sleeping. Sleeping has become a big thing on the internet. You can get a PhD in sleeping. Now, the dog is most expert at sleeping. And the cat, they can sleep anywhere, anytime. Yes, you too?
There, in India, they just sleeping scholarship recently.
Does attending class count for sleeping too? You sleep during class, do you get extra credit? People actually have gotten too lax and groupy for sleeping 12 hours a day. Do you know anyone who's did it? Has done that?
Sleeping scholarship?
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody won the sleeping scholarship, it was on the internet and they sent me a link.
Oh. Only 2 months.
2 months, yeah. Yeah, 2 months. I will reject. Could be 3 months, but I think 2 months. But it's like 2 lakh rupees.
Yeah, so sleeping, nidriya narite naktam, vavavayena, tavavayam. And if you eat nicely and sleep nicely, then you can have good sex. You get the energy. Vavavayena, tavavayam. But in order to do that, divya charteha rajan, then you have to go and make money. And then your wife or your girlfriend go and use your credit card and buy all kinds of things. Make the house pretty. But what is it all for? What is all this glorious activities meant for? Deha patya kala tradishu atma sanyas vashe satsupi tesham pramato nidanam pashanapi na pashati. What are people actually concerned? What are they actually working for? So they don't die, that's all. The families, the house, the dog, everything is just to protect me from Yamaraj and his. They're not going to take me and pull me out of this body. My dog will bite them. My wife will hit them with a rolling pin. My children will jump on them. They'll protect me. Atma Sanyeshva said, but they can't because they themselves are going to die. They themselves can't be protected from the agents of death. So how can they protect me? The biggest emperor that's ever lived, even Brahma himself, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punarvartanuja. Brahma is also morose. Because you think, now I'm Brahma, I'm the head of the universe, but very soon, according to my calculation, I'm going to have to leave this body and it's all lost. My whole kingdom. I can't take my lotus flower with me. So even Brahma is morose. Everyone is in anxiety. Of course, sometimes people take intoxication. They forget. And they think they're flying in the sky. And then they think they're happy. Then they can talk to people. Then they can communicate. Otherwise, people are such anxiety. And my house, my wife, my children, my husband, everything is disappearing. What's going to happen to me? Is it possible that even a nice person like me might die sometime? How is that possible? God is not so unjust that he'd have me leave my body. This is a very nice body. I like it. Maybe I can take it with me. Just like on the shore of the ocean of milk, when the demigods were fighting against the demons were so much enthusiastic about killing the demigods that even they had their heads cut off during the fight, they came back as ghosts, and they picked up their dead bodies and continued on with the fighting. That's how enthusiastic they were. So we're not that quite enthusiastic, but we're pretty enthusiastic. But paśana pina paśati, we know it's not, I'm going to have to leave my body, so why not do something positive for my next lifetime, my next existence? Why not make it spiritual? Why go through the same thing over and over again, get another body, and try to struggle to survive, and then die again? Or as they say, life is hard, and then you die. Instead, if one works for the eternal platform, then one can get eternal life, which goes on full of happiness. Therefore, tasma bharata sarvatma, bhagavan ishvaro hari, shatavyas kirtitavyascha, smaratavyak chetatarvayam. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami advises that tasma sarvata bharata, bhagavan ishvaro, the all-pervading, the Supreme Lord, we should hear about, we should chant about, and remember him. He can actually save us from all kinds of all our problems. So why not take that advantage of that and make our lives successful instead of just doing the same thing over and over again, struggling to maintain a body which is destined to die? Why not maintain the soul who's destined to live forever? So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Well, yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. I would like to ask, you mentioned a few times that Prabhupada said that most of his disciples will be demigods in their next life or something like that.
Oh, I don't know. I doubt whether they get most of them are going to make it that far.
Okay. I wanted to ask, how can we protect ourselves that we are not trying to practice devotional service, and that we can also in the next life that we can practice devotional service, that we don't go, I don't know, to higher planetary system and enjoy there, like, and forget about devotional service?
It depends on our desire. We sincerely practice devotional service in this lifetime, then we don't have to go to the heavenly planets. Heavenly planets are usually those who practice devotional service for a short period of time and want to enjoy in the heavenly planets. Then we want to come back, because Pariksit Maharaj prayed himself, let me come back at least, be born in the family of devotees, and take up the process of devotional service again in my next lifetime. We pray like that, Krishna will fulfill it. And if we're serious about devotional service, then that will reconfirm it, that that's what we want. That's why I say many devotees, they've come, they engaged seriously for some time, but then they didn't take it so seriously. They went out back to try to enjoy the material world. Some of them will actually, they don't have, if they're fortunate, they won't go to the heavenly planets, but they'll come back and get another chance to practice again devotional service. This is a very difficult age to go to the heavenly planets. Because if you spend too much time there, more than 10,000 years, you wind up at the end of Kali Yuga. In devotional service, after 10,000 years from now, devotional service will be quite a challenge. When people are, you think it's bad now, we can't imagine after 10,000 years what it's going to be like. Yes.
So I was thinking about this, that if devotees, if they are not going to heavenly planets, if in case...
Well, some of them may go to the heavenly planets, because everyone has their difference, where they want to go. A lot of it has to do with what our credits are in devotional service and where we actually want to go, what our aim is. If one takes up devotional service out of distress or out of wanting to be comfortable, then it's much more likely, if one doesn't go beyond that, then one will go to the heavenly planets, because that's what the heavenly planets are meant for. Freedom from distress and some comfort. But if one comes out to the platform of becoming Jignasu and it leaves the body, then he'll probably go maybe to even beyond that, to Mahaloka or some other loka, which is for devotees who want to do sacrifice and elevate themselves even higher than the heavenly planets. But if one is really serious and is actually practicing not only just being free from distress or cultivating knowledge, but actually seriously engaged in trying to please Krishna, then the result is he'll probably be fortunate enough to come back and engage again, like we have the example of Bharat Maharaj. Eventually he came back to this planet. Well, he never really left this planet. And he got the opportunity to engage in pure devotional service on this planet, which is the best place to do it.
But what if there's a devotee who has who may not be so, I mean, he's serious, but has some pious credit and goes to heavenly planets, but then, you know, spending 10,000 years, but then if he comes back, then he won't be able to practice devotional service as much because 10,000 years have passed.
Yes.
Then what?
Then what?
Yeah, like
then what? You have to learn how to run from the little people who are coming to eat you.
Like, what's the hope for that devotee? Because if...
What's the hope? I don't know. He has to pray very hard. That's the only hope. He lost the greatest chance. The greatest opportunity. What the hope? I mean, we're all eternal, so there's always hope.
So, for example, someone is serious but still ends up in the heavenly planet.
Well, I myself am not Yamaraj. Nor am I the super soul, giving people their credit, their position. So you can figure it out, depends. Generally speaking, the heavenly planets is more than 10,000 years, depending how pious you are, how much you've chanted Hare Krishna. In any case, it's only Krishna knows, because he's the one, he's the super soul, he knows all these things. My brain is very limited. I'm not even Yamaraj. Although sometimes it appears like that. Anything else? Yes, here's.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Sometimes there's you go out, you do some preaching, and so many problems come up, and the thought might come up that why don't we just stop this preaching, because this seems like the cause.
Yeah, surely if you stop the preaching, there won't be any more problems. That will definitely solve all the problems. It's like when you're doing cleaning during the winter, you sweep all the dust underneath the rug, and then in the summer when you start cleaning the house more carefully, you pick up the rug and all the dust comes. You say, why should I bother cleaning it? It's producing a lot of dust. The dust is already there. We're just noticing it so we can actually clean it. Okay. Grantharaya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.